there? Who's there? Declare yourself.
You look very lovely when you're sleeping, Jean Brash. Innocent, almost.
Who are you? One call and the whole house will be upon us.
Can't have that, can we? There. Is that better? Do you not recognize me, my sweet?
No, I do not.
The eyes, Jean. The eyes never change.
My God, but you are dead.
Not quite. Not yet. I shall be one day, but not quite yet. Very lovely. Good enough to eat.
Keep your distance. My God, man, you stink.
I arrived in a pig cart. Had to pay the fellow my last shilling. Imagine, paying to lie down with pigs. I cannot say that I grew fond of the animals, but I comforted myself with the thought that they were bound for slaughter.
What happened to your face?
Someone fell in love with me.
Left their mark. That's a fine long scar.
A cellmate. I resisted his advance, like a good soldier. Ah, yes, the hair. White. Becomes me, does it not? That occurred naturally. The birth product of a tortured mind, imprisoned and impenitent.
How did you find me?
I still have acquaintances here. They pointed the direction.
Why not stay with them?
They lack refinement.
You look like an apparition.
I am.
A stinky one. I'll draw you a bath.
Thank you. And perhaps some champagne, that we may toast absent friends. Some long gone, some yet to depart.
Here, open it yourself.
Most kind. Tell me, how is he these days?
To whom do you refer?
To whom? Indeed, that you know.
Do I?
There can be only one. James McCleavy.
He is alive and well.
Good.
There's nothing quite like a dose of summer cold to lower the spirits. I find little glory in phlegm out of season, mucus and spires, no poetry, no flowers by the bedside, no cries of relief that the fever has abated, merely a succession of sodden handkerchiefs. I have been ill these 3 days, and during that time a ferocious storm, also most unseasonable, has buffeted up and down the coast, nature and I both out of sorts. Now the storm is dying down, leaving a feeling of unease behind, like the aftermath of passion. After passion comes conscience, and conscience doth make cowards of us all. My own I perceive tonight to be somewhat spotted. Must be my mood. I look at my reflection in the glass of my window, and it seems stained. There I am, James McCleavy, Inspector of Police. And how many ghosts lie in wait for me in the veil of the spirits, casualties of the pursuit of justice? They stretch their bony hands towards me, hungry for revenge.
A mature elm blew down like a sapling. All the front windows shattered and the glaziers are charging a fortune.
Well, the storm did little damage in Leith.
There's nothing worth blowing over down here.
Well, you'll be insured, though, sir.
Of course, but when it comes to doling out the money, insurance companies are not noted for their alacrity. Oh, McCleavy, you have risen from the grave.
Sick bed only, Lieutenant Roach.
Are you feeling better?
Enough of a margin to get me here.
I must be honest, you've not been missed. Constable Mulholland here has done a splendid job, even brought your paperwork up to date.
Have you been rummaging at my desk?
Only at the top, Inspector.
And while wrapped in your bread poultices, you've missed all the excitement.
Have I now?
Yes. 3 men broke out of Perth prison.
Killed the guard, stole a boat and headed for the open sea.
But the storm caught up with the murderous scoundrels.
2 of the bodies bashed up on the rocks.
Only a matter of time before the 3rd floats to the surface.
The wages of sin.
One of the names may interest you.
How so?
Alan Grant. I imagine his death may be of some relief. How see you, Inspector?
Ah, fine breakfast, Jean. Blood pudding and beaten eggs. Far cry from the belly timber of Perth Penitentiary.
You cannot stay here.
Why not?
We have too many visitors.
Who would recognize me? I am transformed.
I cannot be compromised by murder.
Murder? Give me time.
The prison guard?
That was not I, and it was an accident.
He was stabbed through the heart.
My colleague was aiming lower.
You've changed, Alan Grant.
Prison life, infernally coarse.
It's too dangerous. If McCleavy came sniffing...
Ah, yes, McCleavy. I'd quite forgotten him.
I have a place where you may stay until I can find you berth on a ship outward bound.
I'm in no hurry. Oh, by the by, Jean, I must mention, I broke in here very easily. Of course, it is a bawdy house and all ports are open. Nevertheless, you might consider a guard dog in the grounds.
I'll bear it in mind after you leave.
I feel unwelcome.
You are.
Jean, I'm not the only one who's changed. There was a time you would have locked that door and come into my arms.
Your life always hung by a thread, Alan. That attracted me. But I was younger then.
Ah, good to be back on the Saunter, Mahon. A tidy desk behind in the world of crime before. Tell me, how is the bridge club, the chess club, and all the other clubs you've joined to advance yourself?
I'm well entrenched. It couldn't escape my notice that when Lieutenant Roach...
Alan Grant.
The very name.
Before your time.
What's the story?
Was that Jean Brash's carriage?
Could be. Travelling fast.
She plays a part. In the tale... Alan Grant. His father was a captain in the regiment stationed here. Young Grant was to grow up to be an officer, carry on the line.
What went amiss? You can't be in a story, sir, and it all goes smooth.
His father was caught embezzling the regimental funds. Drummed out, drank himself to death. Young Grant was an outcast, so instead of the army, he took to crime. Banks, jewelers, rich and stately mansions, he robbed them all, up and down the country. No one could lay a glove on him.
There it is, sir. Home, sweet home.
Your mistress Brash did not lie. Remote, she said.
Yeah, it doesn't look much. But you'll find you're well provided for. Food and wine and a wee stove if the sea wind blows.
I may need other sources of warmth, Angus.
Is that?
A man's life should be wine, women and song. Well, I have wine and I can sing.
I'll tell the mistress.
Do so. I recognize this place. When I was a child, I used to play here.
You must have had some nerve. Nobody else shuns it.
Oh, I have nerve enough.
I'll tell him that as well. Up there!
Shillycoat, Shillycoat. Gang of Wahin. I cry now your mercy. I fear now your name.
A raid was planned on a city business house. A safe full of bonds and negotiable bills, but someone peached on them. And we were waiting. I was at the bottom of the stairs, revolver at the ready. A figure towards me raised its hand, a glimpse of steel. I called out a warning. No heed was paid. I had no option.
You shot Grant?
No. He had an accomplice. A young boy, Frank Brennan, who adored him like a father. When the boy's dead body landed at my feet, I saw he clutched a steel jemmy in his hand.
Bad luck.
Grant wounded three men before we took him down. I was exonerated at trial, but Alan Grant saw it differently.
You have killed my friend, McCleavy, and I would remind you of the same. Revenge is a kind of wild justice. One day, I shall revenge him.
Well, he's feeding fishes now. Who peached on them?
No one knew for sure what had it to be Brennan's fancy girl. Jealousy. He'd fallen in love with another. Grant's woman.
Jean Brash.
According to rumor, we never tied her in. Come on! Past crimes may yield to present.
Are you all right, miss?
A man. He cut the strap of my purse and stole it before my very eyes. Shoved me over. How dare he?
He follows his train. Which way?
Round that corner. Like a weasel.
Let us hope. Not with its celerity.
We should wait till the young lady recovers herself.
What? You wait! Then follow me on. Directly.
Let me at least help you to your feet.
Oh, thank you. A man of yours lacks a certain civility.
He's not my man. I'm more his, a humble constable.
Oh, how can that be? Oh, I'm sorry, I meant no...
No, not at all. I have a handkerchief here. Your hand is scraped. Perhaps you might wrap it round.
Oh, thank you, constable.
Round the corner, the street was empty, save for a solitary scavenger, trying to keep the clappy middens of Leith at bay with one broom. He'd seen a fellow run into a tavern nearby and pointed it out. I followed on, but I was not happy. Shields Tavern, a den of iniquity, and more particularly the stronghold of Henry Prager, whose gang of cutthroats would cheerfully cut mine at the drop of a hat.
Inspector McCleavy, the great thief-taker, and all on his own.
I have men arriving, Prager.
And I have men arrived.
I am searching out a pike purse. A young woman robbed. The man ran in here.
Did he know?
He's hiding here somewhere.
Maybe he's under my skirt. Would you like a kick, Inspector?
No, thank you, Hannah.
I'll show you anyhow.
That's quite enough. And you, Billy Martin, stay still. I have an aversion to people creeping around behind me.
Then don't creep, Billy. Walk to the door and report me the scene.
Empty there. Empty. Let's account the scabby.
Where's all your men, Inspector?
At Jean Brash's body house, maybe.
They couldn't afford to.
Yeah, but the police get all for nothing, don't they, McCleavy?
Danny Sims, one of your cronies, he's not here, and I know his vacation. Where is he?
Must be a church. Shivery, pour a dram out for McCleavy.
The whiskey here is only fit for killing rats.
Well, then give us a large measure, Billy. Here, drink it up, Inspector.
So you may cut my throat when I tilt my head.
It'll be such a fearty. Mon, tuck the dram. Between friends.
Keep your distance.
Now then, boys, we'll all give the inspector a drink. We'll pour it down.
I'm warning you, keep your distance.
There you are, Inspector. We were just catching up.
Catching up? You left me hanging out to dry in Shields Tavern.
I didn't know it was your destination.
Young lady, the man who robbed you, describe him.
Small, dark-featured.
And?
That is the sum total of my recollection.
Sum total. Constable Mulholland, perhaps you can take Miss...
Dudgeon. Emily Dudgeon.
To the station, and if Sergeant Murdoch gets the wax out of his ears, she may make out a statement.
Where are you going, sir?
None of your business.
I don't see how I can follow close if I don't know where you're going.
Just take her to the station.
My goodness.
And what's a girl like you doing in this parish, anyway?
I was taking a shortcut.
There are no shortcuts in Leith.
The inspector has a bad cold.
To go with his bad temper.
He depends a lot on me, you see, and if I'm not on hand, he tends to lose his bearings.
You are his compass.
I am indeed.
McCleavy! What are you doing up that tree?
I am avoiding your dogs.
Oh, they must have got loose. Not settled in yet, poor wee thing.
We? They're the size of a horse.
Jupiter! Juno! To my heel. Sit. Oh. Now lie down. Oh. There, you may come to earth now, Inspector.
I'll stay. I was bitten by a dog as a child.
Did it die of poison, the poor animal? What do you want, then?
Danny Sims. His sister works for you. I want to speak with her.
Why?
I need to find him.
Rosie never sees him. She hates the man.
How so?
He put her out on the streets when she was just a wee thing.
And you rescued her, I suppose. Hey, steady, steady.
I take care of all my girls. This house is called the Just Land for that very reason. If Rosie's all you've come for, you've wasted your time.
It would seem so. Remove the beasts and I'll be on my way.
With pleasure. Jupiter, Juno?
Oh, Jean.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about Alan Grant?
I did. His death must make you very happy.
And you, very sad.
Your nose is running, and so must you be. Oh. I suggest you get off that tree and through the gates as fast as your little legs can take you.
All right. Steady there, boy. Steady. Steady. Hey. Oh! Ah. Oh!
Oh, Mr. McCleavy, it's not like you to come back during the daytime.
I need a wee lie down, Mrs. O'Hara. I've had a strenuous morning.
Look, of course, that's terrible affliction. A summer cold is aye the worst. Shall I make you a poultice?
No, just a lie down.
Oh, this parcel came for you, sir. An old woman handed it in. Phew, shoo. I kind of keep the flies off it.
Well, let's see what interests the insect brigade.
Oh, pig's ears, are they not?
They are. And recently severed by the looks of them.
Would you be wanting them for supper?
Pig's ears?
It is a threat, but from whom?
What about the messenger?
Oh, some old biddy. Mrs. O'Hara took no notice of her.
Well, there's nothing much to be done for the moment. Now, more importantly, Emily Dudgeon.
Yes?
The purse theft, is there progress?
I'm not hopeful.
She saw little of the man, and the crime is all too common.
Yes, but she is an uncommon young woman. Her father is Alec Dudgeon, the chief average adjuster for the Provident Anchor Insurance Company. I am about to send him a rather large claim for storm damage I would like to keep in his good books.
I will give it the attention it deserves. Where is Mohod?
I suggest that he accompany Miss Dudgeon back to her domicile.
I'm sure they made a handsome couple.
No need to be jealous, McCleavy. Each to his own. The constable has Miss Dudgeon, and you have your pig's ears.
Angus, take us up by Haymarket. Let us see the latest fashion this good day.
None as tippy as thee, mistress.
Oh, get off with you. Grant, what have you got
now? I have some business in town, and here you are driving by. How splendid.
You get back to your hidey hole.
Who would know me? A distinguished white-haired gentleman with perhaps a dueling scar which hints of past adventures. And the clothes you gave me are so fine, the least I can do is make the long haul into town and give them an airing.
Are you all right, mistress?
I'm fine, Angus. I was coming to see you anyhow. The ship leaves in a few days.
Good. That's just about right. Now, I have a pressing need for money.
What?
£50 will suffice.
I don't carry...
Oh, yes, you do. You always carry a stash, Jean, just in case you have to run. The sooner you give me, the sooner I'm gone.
Here. What do you want it for?
I have business on hand. Debts that must be paid. That place of yours. Too damp. Smells of seaweed and ghosts, and there I am, night and day, a lonely soul, unprovided with creature comforts. If you refuse me, I must get them somewhere.
What do you mean?
Your rival, the Countess in Drummond Street. I shall visit her. I will call myself Mr. Shelley.
You are a crazy man, Alan.
I think not. Besides, money from one whore mistress to pay another. I find that rather amusing. Good afternoon to you, man.
The past few days had gone quietly enough. I received no more packages of porcine content, and after being severely taken to task, Mulholland humbly promised never again would the female form come between him and his more important duties. And yet he had a glazed look in his eye which boded ill for both his and my future. A man in love is useless in a tight corner.
Oh, my love is like a red, red rose that's newly sprung in June.
It's hard to hold, sir.
Not easy to listen to, either.
Miss Dudgeon has arranged a duet. We're going to perform at a musical evening.
I may be busy that night.
You won't be invited. Members and friends only. Emily says, I have a fine tenor voice. I am untrained, but I have great potential.
Says Emily.
There's the one note, though. Newly sprung in June.
See what you've done now. You've woken up the parish. Come on.
Oh, Inspector, well in hand, sir.
What's happened here?
Well, I just opened the shop and these three men burst in. Masks, knives, clubs. They beat down the guard, broke open the cabinets, took all my jewels and then... Oh, my God.
What?
The lead man, he was that polite in manner of speech. He held a gun to my head, forced me to open the safe, all my money, the whole week's taking.
You should have banked it, Mr. Parker. That's what banks are for.
Inspector, over here.
John? John Cameron, what are you doing here?
Mr. Cameron is my security guard.
Security?
Hi, Jamie, and I got stuck for my pains.
Let me look. You're too old for this, John.
You're not too old to box your ears. If it wasn't for me, what would you know of policing?
Nothing at all.
Doesn't look good, sir.
Mr. Parker, send your girl out for the doctor. Mulholland, see to it.
Right, sir.
No, Dr. Fraser, I'm no having him poking at me on the slab.
You'll not be on the slab.
No, I'm getting there. Oh.
What happened, John?
Right at the end, I grabbed one of them. He's mask. He put the knife in me.
Was it the leader?
No, his side man.
Did you see the face?
A moment only. I'm not sure. I'm hurting bad, Jimmy.
Hold on now.
I'll do that. Now, lean close, and here's a name.
Oh, it's just terrible, is it not, Constable? All my jewels.
Terrible. What's this on the counter here?
It's not mine. They must have left it.
Inspector? This has your name. Inspector? Is he dead?
I was right. He was too old.
Oh, my goodness.
What have you there?
Something for you, it would seem.
Give it over.
It's trotters.
Four of them. And a tail.
Henry Prager, that's the name he gave me.
I'm still not convinced.
Then I'll go by myself. John Cameron gave 30 years' service, and I will not let a dirty big minker like Henry Prager spit on his grave.
All right, McCleavy, you may have your men. But if anyone is hurt or injured and this raid brings in nothing, on your head be it.
Thank you, Lieutenant. I'll get started. If you don't want to come, Constable, stay and practice your singing.
Well, that's not fair, sir.
He was fond of John Cameron.
These bits of pig are getting on his nerves.
That may be the intention. I don't want him running wild. You keep close tabs on him, Constable.
Easier said than done.
I have said it. You do it.
Wonder what they're celebrating, eh? We'll give a few more minutes.
Whatever you say.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing.
Are you in the huff?
Not at all.
You look in the huff.
There was no call for that remark.
Don't get sensitive, Constable. That's the problem with cultural activities. Wait now. Who's that sneaking up the side?
Danny Sims.
The depressor of your fair Emily.
With no proof.
We'll see. In he goes. All right. The men should be in position at the back. Since you're feeling hard done by, Mulholland, you can blow the whistle. I won't even count you in.
Right.
That old woman. Strength of 10.
Anna Feely. Only sober in the cell. Ah, Billy. Not creeping round behind me now, eh?
Go to hell, McCreevy.
Where's Prager?
Go to hell. Oh, yeah. Up the stairs. But you're too late. Yeah.
Oh, you could have strangled him.
Not with the one hand. Right, you wait down here. This is personal.
No, I've got to keep close tabs.
Says who?
Lieutenant Rose. It was an order.
Well, here's another order. Wait down here.
Aye, Henry. Huh? I'll wager you tried to drop out round the back and found my men there.
Why, I'm good with this, Windy.
It's a fair leap across.
I am the boy for it.
Not if I can help it.
You keep back, or I'll cut you down.
That's a fine gully you have, but I'm not an old man like John Cameron.
Shut up, old bugger. You can't catch me now, McCleavy.
No, but I can shoot you. Now come back in.
I'll take my chances and...
Dear, dear, I did my best, but you wouldn't pay heed. Hell mend you, Henry.
Two of our men with bad injuries, one bitten and no proof found.
Prager had a stash of money on him, and Billy Martin as well.
But Billy claims he wanted the cards.
Bank notes, unless marked previously, are not identifiable. Jewels are of them. You found no trace.
The man who led the robbery, he will have the jewels.
No trace of him either. You have nothing.
Prager admitted killing John Cameron.
To you, alone, unwitnessed.
I should have come with you, Inspector.
Oh, thank you, Mulholland.
We've hammered at the gang members all day to no avail. No one will break rank. Prager lies unconscious in hospital and will get little out of him when he wakes up. I don't doubt you're right, McCleavy, but where is your proof?
If we press charges, someone may crack.
That's a hope. I am looking for evidence. My day's over. I am going home. We'll talk tomorrow, McCleavy.
Your servant, aye, sir.
Sir,
what?
Will I see you later, sir?
You will. I hope I can stay awake.
Mrs. Roach can dig you in the ribs.
I look forward to that. Find me evidence, McCleavy.
What was all that about?
Cultural activities.
Oh.
So, where do we go from here?
Back to the beginning. Danny Sims.
Nothing on me.
You're right, Danny. You may leave.
Eh?
Even though you assaulted and robbed a young lady...
I have no proof.
Right again, Danny. You may go to the desk, collect your belongings and leave, a free man.
Easy as that, eh?
Easy as that. Goodbye, Danny.
Come on, you.
Of course, there may be gossip. But who can stop gossip?
Gossip?
Mulholland, he is a terrible one for it.
Am I?
Terrible. And of course,
He's very fond of that young lady you pushed over.
I never touched her.
Madly in love.
Nobody's business.
And he will gossip. You see, Billy Martin, Hannah Feely and the rest, they've been asking how we knew to raid them. How did we know? Of course, I've said nothing. But they seem to think somebody peached.
No, me.
So when Mulholland tells them that you've been released without charges from last night, well, they may think nothing of it.
Aye, they will. They'll think it was me.
Who cares? They're stuck in jail. You're free to go.
The family order the sick. I'm a dead man.
I wouldn't say dead. That brother of Billy Martin's, how does he cry himself?
Jockey.
Favours the cutthroat.
Quite an artist.
Not dead, Danny. This man, the one who bossed the jewel robbery, who is he?
I don't know who you mean.
One chance, you just lost it.
No, wait. I've nothing to do with robbery. I'm small fry.
Information?
But a few people glimpsed. He came in late at night, the back door, spoke only with Prager. Oh, white hair. Somebody said white hair. Prager called him Mr. Shelley. Laughed. I didn't see the joke myself.
Nor do I. Not enough, Danny.
No, wait. Prager said he was in whiskey and he was snittering away to himself. He said Mr. Shelley told him he had moved from a lease whore to a countess.
The Countess in Drummond Street. Her hotel, as she likes to call it, is a high-class boarding house.
And out of our parish, Inspector.
Oh, we can always pay a visit. Did you see Danny's face? Nothing puts fear into you like your own kind.
I wonder if what we did lacked a certain scruple, sir.
Scruple? Scruple? The people we deal with don't know the meaning of the word.
Yes, and there may be a danger of contamination.
What are you suggesting, Mulholland?
Nothing, sir.
That I have become contaminated? That evil has seeped into my bones?
You may be getting a little obsessed, sir.
Obsessed? I am doing my job. Now let's to Drummond Street.
I'm sorry, sir, I can't go.
What?
Tonight is the music recital with Miss Dudgeon.
You'd rather warble like a canary than catch a murderous jewel thief.
It's a slight clue at best, sir, and my shift is long over.
Then shift, Mulholland. Shift your useless body out of my way.
A 15-year-old malt, Inspector. The name in the Gaelic means tears of angels.
I know them well. They taste divine. Tell me, do you have dogs in the premises?
Only on request.
Good. Oh, most welcome.
As you are, a visit which brings a most pleasant surprise. Here's to friendship.
Friendship.
Although I'm told you lean more towards Jean Brash.
Jean Brash? I'm no friend of hers.
Nor I with Alf Klaas and Foutin Vulgaire.
Common as dirt.
What may I do for you, Inspector?
A client, perhaps. It will go no further.
All clients are confidential.
It would be much appreciated.
Could we say that if I help you, this may start a relationship which contains some understanding?
We could say that.
Ask. If I do not feel I am betraying a trust, I will answer.
A Mr. Shelley. White hair, perhaps.
And a scar running down from the eye?
Perhaps.
There is no betrayal. It was a few visits only, not a regular.
Anything else?
He paid well. He left.
Who granted her favours?
Simone. She is new. French. He liked that.
May I speak with her?
Of course.
Oh, an impressive array of bells.
Each one summons a different girl.
Very scientific. My constable would appreciate that if he was here.
Simone, you may answer the inspector. He is curious about your Mr. Shelley.
As you wish, madame.
What can you tell me about him?
Very droll. Very vigorous.
Did he say anything?
Little before. Nothing during.
What about afterwards?
He made me laugh. He told me he was named after a phantom.
A what?
A ghost, Inspector.
Did he say where he stayed?
Oui, also with a ghost. By the sea. And he taught me a poem for a child, but I was very bad to remember.
Try.
Chilicot, Chilicot, Gan, War. I don't know.
Him. Chilicot, Chilicot, Gangawa him. I cry na your mercy. I fear na your name.
A child's rhyme. I knew it well. The bairns of Leith still chanted it, though the story was almost forgotten. A mythical ghost whose garment rustled with seashells, a gigantic fiend who stalked the north coast of Leith, who would lift huge boulders to crush his victims underneath or drag them out to sea and plunge them under the waves, their drowned bodies later thrown up on the shore, the flesh hacked and gashed by the sharp edge of his shells. One spot in particular, to be avoided like the plague, his lair, his den, a remote, bleak outcrop where the wind howled in from the sea. I remembered an old shepherd's cottage hidden down a path and wondered if my Mr. Shelley might be biding there. A fairly desperate throw, but all I had. The full moon shone down as I approached the cottage, and it seemed to me that there was a light flickering inside. But were my eyes playing tricks? Ghosts are memories that will not rest, and I have many of them.
Mr. Mulholland, I'd almost given you up. Lieutenant Roach is even here before you.
Sorry, I had to bathe and change. I have been in hugger-mugger with the unwashed.
How dreadful.
There was one old woman in particular.
I think we may leave the great unwashed outside the door. We have just time for one practice before... Oh, I just live for moments like this. Don't you, Martin?
I do indeed, Emily. I just hope I can hit that top note.
Oh, I shall support. You above, I below. Now take my hand. We have not a moment to lose.
Shall I come with you, mistress?
No. Use the time to turn the horses round. I won't be long.
I'll be waiting.
Oh.
Careful, Jean. The way is treacherous.
What are you doing out here?
I heard the carriage. I knew not who, so I hid amongst the rocks.
I have news. The ship embarks tonight. She's moored out in the bay. You must leave within the hour to catch her.
Aye. Fair row. But I have the strength. Will you not come inside?
No, I will say goodbye here, Alan.
But I have a surprise.
I don't like your surprises.
Well, this one will please. There. How see you?
McLeavy.
God delivered him into my hands. Or was it the devil? I can make little distinction these days.
He's bleeding hard.
Only a crack on the head. But it's a beginning.
If you kill him, there will be great trouble, Alan.
Not to me. I'm headed for the Caribbees. And for you, it will be as a blessing. Will it not?
What an idiot.
Yes. I shall be his priest.
So be it. He's been heading for this all his life. Goodbye, Alan.
Not even a farewell kiss.
Not to murderers, lest it's catching.
What about McCleavy?
I'd rather kiss a toad. Goodbye, Alan Grant.
Goodbye, Jean Brash.
Two encores, better than anyone else.
And not one false top note.
Well, in the second repetition, I thought you were a trifle sharp.
Sharp? No, you must have been flat.
I am not flat. Oh, I'm sure I don't... I hope you don't think I kiss every man I sing with, Mr. Mulholland.
Begging your pardon, sir, but this note was left for you and I'm told most urgent to deliver.
Ah, thank you. You're very kind. Excuse me, Miss Dodgy.
You are excused for the moment.
Indeed, quite so. Excused.
Miss Dodgen, your father awaits you inside. He is as proud as a peacock.
I shall go to him at once.
Do so. Well done.
And let us hope his good mood extends to my insurance claim. What's the matter with you, Constable? Lost your voice?
This note, sir.
Eh?
Oh, that man. Will he never leave us be?
The ears, feet and tail of the pig were but a prelude to the guts, Inspector, which I intended you to provide. The Prager gang were to kidnap and deliver you to me. I allowed them the money from the robbery to that end. When I heard nothing, I went to town and found that you'd beaten them to the punch. I returned to my wee cottage quite crestfallen, thinking I must give you up and leave. And then in you walked, like a guest to the feast. I regret the rotten, stinking rag stuffed in your mouth, McCleavy. Smells of swine, does it not?
but I could not afford cries of alarm until far from shore. Not long now. You may see your peace. I do so look forward to it.
In the meantime, let us review the manner of your death. I have both knife and gun, but the spilled guts seem to me to lack a subtle touch. You shot my friend Frank Brennan down like a dog. Why should I echo your brutality?
Well, I'm glad you agree.
Then I remembered a recent event. Both my companions drowned, the storm driving me under time and again, my lungs full of water, the agony of every breath, and there came my solution. Far enough. You may speak now.
I wondered who was behind all this.
You thought me dead. Even if you'd seen me, would you have known?
The eyes, perhaps, but that scar, it spoils your handsome face, Alan.
My handsome face was the cause of it.
So, what is your solution?
Spoken like the true detective. I intend, when I sight my ship of leaving in the moonlight, to slide you overboard. Look once into your eyes, and then watch you sink beneath the waves.
That seems unfair.
Why?
I cannot swim. It's not too late for you to come back with me and throw yourself on the mercy of the court.
Oh, I shall miss you, McLeary. By the by, Jean Brash sends her regards.
She knows of this.
And approves. Damnation.
But not eternal. Oh, the excise ship. What are you going to do now, my bold boy?
Seen us, sir.
I am aware of that.
Alan Grant, you will turn your boat around and come towards us.
And think not! You will hold your distance, or I'll cut his throat.
He's hauled the inspector up, sir.
I am aware of that also.
Slow the engines.
Where is the master?
Here I am, sir.
Can you fix Grant in your sights?
He has the inspector like a shield, sir.
What can we do, Lieutenant?
McLeavy can see our marksman. He will think of something.
And if he doesn't?
We do what he would do in our position.
Shoot.
Anyway.
I shall have to cut your throat and slip over the side. How unfortunate.
Did he even recover the body?
In that case, I may as well tell truth.
What truth?
At the trial, it made me laugh, you swearing vengeance for your friend. The person who betrayed you was not his fancy woman. It was Frank Brennan.
You're a liar.
Ah, careful. You might kill me, and then you'd never know.
Know what?
He was jealous of you, Alan. You had the glory, the woman. Frank wanted the woman.
He was infatuated with Jean Brash, but like a puppy.
Aye, well, this puppy had teeth. He came to me alone, just between the two, told me the time and place. I was to let him down the stairs, escape. But I saw the metal in his hand, and I thought it was a gun. But he did not trust my word. An honest mistake.
Ah!
My life is over. Why not tell the truth? Turn me round. Look into my eyes. And you can see it shining.
I will do just that.
No!
Now, look at me.
You're right, Alan. I'm a liar.
Now's your chance. Shoot!
I was covered in blood. Alan Grant's blood. As the side of his head exploded and we both fell into the sea and separated, each on his own journey. It was as if many unseen ghostly hands were snatching, dragging me down into the depths. I tried to hold my breath, but my lungs were bursting, and the pain demanded I open my mouth and suck in the sea. The salty liquid flooded through, filling every cavity of my being. The eyes went last. Above me, I saw a strange figure floating. No doubt it was my opposite. Looking down as I descended into darkness.
I knew James McLeavy well. He and I had our differences, and I often wished that he would pay more attention to my advice, but he did not. And see where he has ended up.
I hope I'm not catching your cold, McLeavy. It was a very damp night. Anyhow, that's as far as I can pose before they hauled you aboard like a beached whale.
As funeral orations go, it's beginning.
Hopefully I'll have time to refine and extend before the real thing.
The nurse said you'd come to yourself, sir.
Yes, and one of the first things he saw was me.
That's lucky.
Isn't it just?
Well, I've sat here long enough. You have Mulholland to thank for the fact you're here at all, James. He dove down for you 3 times. I had given you up.
Oh, I'm a good swimmer.
Your Aunt Katie, teacher?
No, Uncle Willie. He'd throw me out in the loch a little bit further every day.
There's something about your family, Constable. In any case, I am putting you forward for a recommendation. It will do your promotion prospects no harm at all.
Thank you, sir.
As I say, McLeavy, thanks are due.
You don't have to, sir.
What?
Thank me.
Good.
We recovered the jewels from Grant's boat, and a piece of luck with the Prager gang.
How so?
The banknotes we found on Prager. I went through them again this morning, scientifically. I noticed some of them were new, British linen, and the bank still had the serial numbers. They matched.
Is Prager in this hospital?
3 rooms down, under guard. Soon as he's fit enough to walk, we'll bang him in the cells. And Billy Martin had some of the notes as well, he confessed. And you'll never guess who the lookout man for the robbery was.
Danny Sims.
Danny Sims.
John Cameron is avenged. You've done well.
That's what I think.
Inspector McLeavy, back on your feet, eh?
I am. 2 days in hospital is quite enough.
I'm sorry to see you have need of a stick.
That's for your dogs.
Oh, they're asleep. Would you like some strawberries, newly ripe?
No, thank you.
Delicious, but they do stain so. Look at my hands, a scarlet woman.
Alan Grant told me that you knew of his plan to kill me, and approved, most heartily.
Alan Grant is dead. I cannot argue the point with him.
My constable has all the credit for my rescue, but he would have known nothing were it not for a note delivered telling of Grant's intentions and whereabouts.
How fortunate.
I have it here. The capital M of McLeavy is like 2 spikes sticking into the line above. Do you recognize the hand?
Not immediately.
I do. Is it not yours?
Mine? Oh, why would I save your life?
A guilty conscience?
I have no conscience.
One day, Jean Brash, you will acknowledge the small amount of good which dwells within you.
And one day, McLeavy, you will acknowledge the large amount of wickedness which does the same in you. The dogs smell you. Time to go.
Wickedness unseen. Was that what drove me in my fierce pursuit of justice? Contamination, said the constable. Had the devil crept in while I was sleeping? Quis custodiat ipsos custodes? Who will guard the guards themselves? And what of death? There was a moment on the boat, with that foul-smelling rag stuffed in my mouth, stinking of pig, when I looked and saw Alan Grant above, white-haired, scarred like some avenging demon. And as the water closed round, and I thought I'd breathe my last, I more than surrendered to death. I welcomed it. Dark thoughts. But one thing I knew for sure, and I instructed Mrs. O'Hara to that end. Port, in any way, shape or form, was off the menu.
In Wild Justice by David Ashton, Brian Cox was James McLeavy, and Siobhan Redmond, Jean Brash, with Michael Percival Maxwell, David Robb, Maureen Beattie, Jane McKenham, Malcolm Rennie, and John Stahl. It was produced by Patrick Rayner.